Tuile Tuli was raised in American Samoa. He is of Hawaiian and Samoan descent, a natural-born entertainer. Tui is a musician, songwriter who has worked as an actor and stuntman and is no stranger behind or in front of the camera. He currently contracts with Disney and serves as a talent scout for their Pacific Island Worldwide project. Part-time, he partners as a marketing director and consultant for many other worldwide organizations. Tuile Tuli is usually based in American Samoa, but is currently in California, where he is recovering in self-imposed quarantine since testing positive for COVID-19. Tui is also on the line with us now. Talofa lava Tui, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
It is my pleasure, and thank you again. Now, COVID-19, how was that? How do you think you contracted it? And what was it like to have COVID-19?
You know, it's funny because I just kind of ignored that I would even have it. But my daughter, one of her best friends was being married, and so she had a bachelorette party, and it was in Las Vegas. So she had to leave, and she has four kids here in California. And she almost didn't go, but she thought, okay, everybody, she's in charge. So they all went for the weekend, and they came back, and she wasn't feeling well. And then next thing you know, she really wasn't feeling well. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't feeling well. And then I took the test, and she had it, I had it. But she's 100% better now. And I'm actually almost out of the woods with the COVID.
Now, let's go back in time in your career. Born in American Samoa, when did you discover your passion and your love for music? Was that through family that you were surrounded by?
Well, you know, it's funny. I always thought I was born in American Samoa when I was a kid. And then I found out that I was born in California, in L.A., when my parents were entertainers. And then when I was young, I went to Samoa, and, you know, I don't remember anything about California. All I remember was growing up in American Samoa. But my dad, he owned a nightclub down in Fuamoa, Freddy's Beach, and there was always musicians. And so I'm always picking up the musicians. My sisters sang. They had a group called the Lava Rocks. And so music was always around us, you know, and on the beach, of course, everybody's got a guitar and
Your mom and dad meeting in the entertainment industry. It was your mom that is Hawaiian?
Yes, my biological mom, she's Hawaiian. She actually lives in Hawaii. And when they got a divorce when I was very, very young, my dad moved back to Samoa and brought all of us kids to Samoa. And so from there, and then I met my dad, met my stepmom, and she's been my mom since I was a little kid. And she's been an awesome mom.
And then your journey from American Samoa as a musician and then to becoming an stuntman. Could you tell us about that journey from American Samoa to the films and also to through the music?
Sure. You know, when I left American Samoa, first in 81, because I was working for Polynesian Airlines. And when I finally left, I went to Chicago to live with my brother. And he had a martial arts school. And from there, he had me fight in tournaments when I was just raw. You know, you just put on the belt and get up there and fight. I'm like, okay. But I met a group that was there. There were Tongan guys and a Hawaiian guy, and they were looking for a guitar player. And I said, yeah. So we ended up touring for about a year. I ended up in Florida and worked there for SeaWorld and met a lot of good other brothers and sisters there in the entertainment industry. And then I went back to Samoa. I wanted to go back and help my family with the Stephen Owen company that they had. But soon something was calling me to go to California. So I went just for a little vacation. And when I went to see my dad, I said, "Dad, I'll be back. I'm going to California." He says, "What for?" "I'm just going to go visit." And my dad looked at me and he said, "You know, son, there's only three things I want you to remember. Number one, never forget where you came from. Number two, put God first in all that you do. And number three, I love you." And I never forgot those. When I went to California, you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, I knew I needed to get a job, and I went, started working construction. Anything. I would just do anything just to make a living. And then from there, all of a sudden, there was a guy named Tao Longo. He was a drummer. I met him through music. And then come to find out, he was also a wrestler. And he called me up and he says, "Tui," he says, can you take me to an audition for a movie?" I'm like, "Whoa, yeah, sure." Because he didn't have a car at the time. So we went, and it was a movie with Lou Ferrigno. And he was going to be one of the guys fighting in the ring. And it was a movie called Cage. And I thought, wow. So I was standing there. And after meeting Lou Ferrigno and all these people, I was like really impressed. So I sat next to my car, and I had long hair and a beard. And I had a good physique then too, because I was working construction. And then the guy came up to me. His name was Lang Elliott. He was a director. And he says, "Hey, how you doing?" He says, I'm Lang Elliott. I'm the director." I'm like, "Great. Oh, nice to meet you." He says, "Are you working?" I said, "No." He says, "I'll pay you $100 a day if you want to. I'm going to put you in a suit. I want you to play the bad guy." And I thought, wow. And this is like an extra. Right? You just look tough in the back there. And I thought, okay, I can do that. Next thing you know, they had me in this scene where they said the only way to make this scene work is that you're going to have to beat up the bad guy, the guy that's standing there, and that was me. So they had to partly me. They had to use a non-union principle. So that's how I got into Screen Actors Guild. And then from then on, I went to the screening. Then I met a guy that was at the screening. His name was Branscombe Richmond. He was the guy that's on Renegades playing the Indian. And he's Polynesian, you know. And so when I introduced myself and he said, "Hi," I told him, "Letuli." He goes, "Letuli?" He goes, "Oh, any relation to Freddie Letuli?" I said, "That's my dad." And he goes, "Oh, my gosh." And so he named all of my siblings. And then he said that my parents and his parents know each other, and they used to babysit us. And I'm like, "What?" And then that's how I got into the film industry, because Branscombe called me up and he says, "Come live with me up in Tarzana." And then he got me a whole bunch of other jobs. And the rest was history from there. That's how I met my wife, because it was his first cousin.
Ah, one of those ones, huh?
Yeah, but in the meantime, I was still playing music on the side here and there, because I went, when Branscombe and I got together and played music, he introduced me to all these guys in the Hollywood circuit there on Ventura Boulevard. All his friends were playing music, so he got me in, you know, introduced me to all these friends. And so next thing you know, I was playing music and trying to get some work, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, and of course you had to leave that scene because your wife wasn't seeing much of you. And could you tell us about joining the Strangers and going on your mission journeys to Africa, please, Tui?
Well, okay, I'll back up a little bit, because there was a time when it was like working in the film industry was feast or famine. You know, when you worked, you made good money, but when you didn't, man, you're either on an unemployment or you're looking for another side gig. And for me, it was playing music. And then I met up with some of the Samoan and Polynesian Hawaiian guys that were working with the film industry driving trucks. And I thought, "Wow, are you guys busy?" And they go, "Yeah." And I, "Wow, how do I get in?" They said, "You need to get your Class A driver's license." How do I do that? I said, yeah, you got to drive the big 18-wheelers. I was like, whoa. Okay. So I went and called the place, and I says, okay, I'd like to join the school. I'd like to get started right away. I want to get my license. And I says, how much would it cost? He says, $2,300. And I'm like, never mind. I didn't have the money. So I got on the Yellow Pages. Back then it was Yellow Pages. And I went to Long Beach. I looked at this trucking company. And I just showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I went to the office. I knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and the boss was there. And he says, can I help you? I says, yeah, I'm here to work for you today, sir. He says, what? And who sent you? I said, I did. If you can just hear my story. And I told him, I said, I really need to up my game. I need a better job because, you know, I'm not working. My kids are, and I got young kids. And the guy just shook his head, thought, nobody's ever asked me this request, because I said, if you just show me how to drive one of those trucks, I'll work for you for free for as long as you tell me. And that's how I got into the Teamsters, the local 399. And from there, I went on to working for that. And not only that, I worked my way up coordinating the first Austin Powers show. I was a captain on that show. And it was my coordinator was a really good Samoan guy. He was doing a whole bunch of shows named Bill Paluti. So he gave me my first crack at that. But what happened was, I was working too much. I was making good money. But my wife one day says, you know, I feel like a single mom. You're never around. And I says, you know what? Okay. Left that job, left the industry, got a side job. And from there, I was making good enough money for us to survive and to live. And I ended up, God was calling me. I ended up going to Bible college at night, at Southern Bible College. And it was good. And then from there at church, I met up with one of the pastors. His name is Alan Kisaka. And one of the other guys in church was Scott Wilderman. And we end up going to men's retreat, and we end up playing music, and we end up writing a song. Next thing you know, we started writing a whole bunch of songs. And then next thing you know, they called us to go to Africa, to Uganda. And we went there. I went there at least a half a dozen times, building churches and, you know, spreading the gospel. Especially because in Uganda, it was Idi Amin territory at the time. And he just left, and you could still see the ruins. And that's when I really appreciate where I came from. We're so rich in Samoa. We're so rich in the mainland. It's, you know, because you go to a place like that, and there's people, they got nothing but the shirt off their back. And that's if they have a shirt.
So what are the plans for Tui Le Tuli now? You're looking to return to American Samoa and continue your music work? Or?
Absolutely. In fact, I moved to American Samoa in 2017. I sold my house, one of my houses, and my wife and I moved to American Samoa, and we have a home there, and we started a music and dance studio. To help out, you know, and I was teaching ukulele, teaching guitar. My wife was teaching hula and anything that, you know, we can do to help. And I even gone to some of the villages like Leone, doing ukulele classes. So we're, you know, and I hooked up with all the Samoan musicians there, and come up with all kinds of things to do to elevate music, and it's been fun. But in the last 5 years, my wife and I have been on the cruise ship. So we do that part-time, too, where we've traveled all over the world performing music, not only as a musician. I teach ukulele. My wife teaches hula. And then I preach on Sundays if they do need a preacher. Sometimes the captain does the preaching. But that's how I arrived to New Zealand a couple of years ago. and Australia, but it was beautiful.
Tuile Tuile Samoan songwriter, preacher, stuntman, driver. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the recovery. And we hope that the border in American Samoa opens up soon so you can get back home.
So true, man. I'm praying for that. I can't wait to get back home. There's so much to do. And I've been really busy writing my book. It's all about, it's a book that's helping to help others. Because I remember growing up, when I was young, there was, I so appreciate so many mentors and people that came up and always gave a good word of encouragement. And I think it's needed with the youth.
Wonderful. So if people were wanting to find out more information about that book, I'm sure if they Google Tuile Tuile online, they will be able to get more information.
Yes, they will. Right now it's in editing stages, but I've been talking to several different publishers to self-publish it. So absolutely, they can go on letupi.com actually, and we're going to be putting more information on there. I've just been here quarantined and enjoying that. You know, I have to tell you, I'm so very thankful for our brothers and sisters around here that have showered us with food and their love and support and prayer, and we're very, very thankful for them.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to seeing the book when it's out.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Wonderful.